five, six, seven, eight.
Gazebo.
Gazebo. Gazebo.
Wait, did we just
sing
the same?
Why did we both sing that?
I don't know.
We've never done that before.
Also, it's not even a song.
We just made that up. Whoa.
That's how you know we spend too much time together.
Wow, we did. I guess let's start a podcast together.
All right, let's do it. Here we go. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to Gilmore to Consider with Tara and Haley. I'm Tara. This is Haley. Hi, Haley.
Hi, Tara. Did you hear that get so much louder all of a sudden?
No. Oh, Haley's having a little background noise. She has a special guest today.
I know. They're installing fiber optic in front of my house, and there's really nothing.
Oh, I do hear it.
It sounds like a helicopter.
Poor thing. You have had like trees being cut down behind you, little beep beeps in our
episode
2 weeks ago. Yeah. And now to AT&T fiber optics. I wish that they were sponsoring this episode. At least we could justify it a little
bit. It's like honestly the opposite of sponsoring it.
Yeah. They're ruining it.
So I'm really sorry about different vibe. But, maybe it'll be some pleasant white noise, maybe not. It'll hopefully die down in a second. But I could see it in like the silence on my track going by. It's just so
the little
loud.
Boom booms. Oh man. Yeah.
Well, it's a messy Tuesday today.
Yeah, if it's any consolation, it is raining very, very hard here in New York. But also, you know, it's April 3rd. I know that they have to keep the heat on. I believe in New York it's a law. I think April. And so my heaters are still rattling, but it is so unbelievably hot in this apartment. It is like 80 degrees in this apartment right now. I have the windows open.
A sweatshirt.
Yeah, you know, I don't know how to answer you on that front.
Yeah.
You know, if I go to various parts of my apartment, even though it's pretty small, it gets cooler and then it gets warmer, you know, I don't know. But anyway. Yeah. All
like
of this
spring
is to say
inside your apartment.
Well, we're wearing the same color.
We
both are wearing lavender right now. And speaking of wearing sweatshirts, so the reason our word was gazebo today is because we were finally releasing our spring gazebo merch.
Yes.
It has been a long time coming. Yes, you're wearing it. It's so much fun. I really love the color options we have to offer. A lot of you have been asking why we haven't had our merch from, you know, past years on our site, and that is because we kind of regrouped. We actually are using a different manufacturer now that offers comfort colors, sweatshirts, and
so much better colors.
Oh my god, I'm so excited.
Like
so
Bay.
Oh, I know you love Bay. Yeah.
Bay is such a pretty color because our spring gazebo was once again done by Emily Kelly. Emily Kelly Designs. She is just like a phenomenal artist. So great to work with. If you guys ever need graphic design done, she is amazing. And it just looks so good on every single one of these new colors. We've got Butter and Bay and Orchid. Orchid is like lavender. Bay is like a sagey, kind of like cold green color. We got Butter, which is yellow. Got a white, of course. And then we got it on sweatshirts as well.
We do, yeah. We also have Blossom, which is this really nice, like light pink color.
It's a pink. It's just like all springy colors, and I love them all so much. But like, Tara and I are very partial to Bay.
We love Bay.
Bay is cringy.
Bay.
But you have to say it.
So cringe, but you have to say it. And Haley brought up a very, very good point, which by the time this airs, hopefully we will have posted it. But Haley brought up that I should get Bay and she should get the Orchid because it's her lavender year and my sage year, as we've talked about a lot on the show. So it was fun. I imagine it was fun. We haven't gotten them yet to photograph ourselves in those colors. Very exciting.
Well, I mean, I have Orchid, which is nice. It's pretty. Oh, my God. You notice I'm wearing sage hat.
You are wearing a sage
lavender
hat.
Lavender sweatshirt. I am our year all together at once.
Yes.
But I think I'm the most excited for the spring one. But I think it's because of the new colors that we can offer the shirts on. And it just makes me excited for summer and to bring back our fall one. I kind of want to put fall on Bay.
Oh, we're like, going to be putting fall on Bay. We have so many fun colors now to work with, which is why I'm glad we changed suppliers, because we're able to kind of play around a little bit more and not stick to just like basic colors, which we have in the past. No hate to our last supplier. It was great. It was a good starting point, but now we have something else to work with, which we're really excited about. And so, all of that is to say we have our spring gazebo coming out today, but we are also going to start re-releasing some of our classic merch, some of those staples, and putting those back up for you guys to purchase very soon. We're excited. It'll be a lot of fun.
fun time. So head over to our ye old merch shop with an E.
Can I tell you? I don't know if I told you this when it came out, but when we first launched our merch site, someone, you know, we posted the logo and we posted that it had a P and E at the end of shop. And someone commented Luke's quote from the show, like, I don't like the P and E at the end of shop. And my mom got very, very upset.
Me too. Do you not remember that? Both, me and your mom were like, wait, why would they say that? And you're like, Haley, it's that's a quote what from Luke the show. Says. And I was like, oh my God.
Yeah. You're like, what do you mean you don't like the peony at the end of shop?
It's a reference. And then you were like, they were making a reference too.
My mom was so offended for us. She was like, why don't they like the peony? And I was like, It's a quote. And she was like, oh, that's so funny.
She was like up in arms and she was like,
she was like ready to fight. And then she was like, oh, that's so cute.
I was like, why would you say that? Like, we just posted this and you were like, also, Haley, calm down.
Yeah.
Haley and Jeannie.
Haley and Jeannie. Get to level zero. It's okay. I love that. But yeah, we're really excited to re-release some of our classic things. We're excited to be releasing the Spring Gazebo today. Also, we have our Summer Gazebo already in motion. We know what we're going to do with it. We're really excited about that too. So head on over to GilmoreToSay.com and check it out.
Speaking of new things, you know we have not talked about at all is that Lauren Graham is now on Instagram.
Lauren Instagram, yeah.
Lauren Instagram. Like, they changed the name. Can I tell you? I genuinely thought it was fake.
Yes, you did. When I sent it to you, you were like, I don't know. I don't think this is real. And I was like, I think it's very real.
Because it was verified. And that account has been there for a really long time. Yeah. And her bio was smeller of snow, lover of books. And I was like, that feels like something that someone would put for a fake Lauren Graham Instagram account. Mm. And it had like 37,000 followers and no posts. And then she posted and it exploded. And I would just like, I didn't follow her until her like third post. And I was like, okay. I believe it now.
She's here.
I don't know why. Because she said in the past that she wouldn't get an Instagram.
I know, but she's on Twitter. And that was the thing is I went to her Twitter and I was waiting to see if she said something along the lines of like, hey guys, that's not me. You know, I feel like
this is what
so many people would have had to reach out to her and been like, hey, is this you? And she, if it wasn't, of course, would have said, this is not me. This is someone who's pretending to be me. I am only on Twitter. But because she didn't say that, I was like, this is the real deal. This is the real Lauren Graham.
And she's posting pictures because she's going on tour again for her book with her friend Sam Pancake. Is that his name? And she reposted something from him and he reposted something from her. So I was like, okay, this is real. But it just felt so fake because it felt so like it felt too good to be true.
I know.
But I'm kind of excited to see what she starts to post.
Yeah, I'm excited because I have a feeling that part of the reason she did it was to create buzz around her book tour.
Yeah, I think so too.
Very smart. Definitely respect that. But
someone in the room was like, okay, Lauren, time to get on the gram.
Yeah, you gotta rip the Band-Aid off, Miss Lauren Graham. But I'm glad she's here.
Yeah.
Happy to see her face. Loved that. It was like, what, hours after we had posted her in the Irish Girl t-shirt
that
she posted
it.
Herself in it and then that's the next like, line no. was the same picture. I was like, oh my god, I said mom has arrived finally. I love it.
And she's here. We love her. Welcome.
One
day we will welcome you here.
I hope so.
That's manifesting. That's called manifesting. We'll see.
And that is on manifesting. But anyway, kind of speaking about the Spring Gazebo, Miss Lauren Graham herself, we are on Patreon wrapping up our season 4 rewatch, which,
my God, I cannot believe it.
I know. Yesterday we actually recorded the finale and we both were just talking about how much we don't want to let season 4 go. We love it so
good.
Much. And so in the spirit of that, we are actually looking ahead to doing our season 4 recap as we always do when we wrap up a season on Patreon. But what I wanted to do is we had a Gilmore to Consider plan for today. And I really wanted to look through our past voicemails to see people's thoughts on season 4 so that we can kind of answer some audience questions you know, thoughts that they proposed to us before we dive into our season 4 recap. So we're going to start with a voicemail that we actually got back in February after we had done our boyfriends episodes. So let's hear from our bestie, Kinley.
Hi, so my name's Kinley, and I am a big fan of y'all's show. And for my hot take, I was wondering, what if Dean saw Rory if she went to the wedding and he said no to Lindsay? And, like, I just want to know, like, what do y'all think will happen? Because me personally, I feel like she wouldn't have feelings for him no more. And so, like, he'll go to her and he'll say, like, oh, I still have feelings for you. And she's like, oh, like, well, I don't have feelings for you no more. And so, like, it just causes all of this. So I just want to know what y'all would think.
First of all, Kinley, I love your accent.
So sweet.
I want to put you in my pocket.
But I just laughed so hard when she was like, no, I don't have feelings for you anymore. Because well, I was like, that's so her.
Well, that's the thing is that I wanted to pose this question to you because we just got to the finale, of course. So we all know what happens at the end of season four. We all know what the relationship between Rory and Dean leads to in season four. And we did discuss a lot of the reasons we believe Rory leaned into having like starting up this affair with Dean. And it didn't really strike me until I listened to Kinley's voicemail that, you know, that's such an arc and such a journey. And we talk about this in Chicken or Beef when we cover it, which is Dean's wedding episode on Patreon, that like, we don't know if Rory was still harboring feelings for Dean or if it was more about possession or, you know, she confusion. Loves possession. She loves to hold on to things that she believes are hers. And so I'm just curious what your thoughts are on this, because I kind of am apt to agree with Kinley that I don't think that she necessarily had feelings for Dean. I think that she just felt very odd about watching him get married. I don't know. Yeah. We've talked about this before on the show that we feel like there are so many what if factors about like if Lorelai had found out, if Luke had told her, if Luke had told Dean don't get married, or if he tried to stop the wedding or, you know, whatnot. But we've never, I don't think, talked about what would have happened if Dean actually said no to Lindsay. Yeah.
Or if he would have like canceled the wedding like that morning, like not shown up, whatever. No, I totally agree with Kinley. I think that had he been like, Rory, I want to be with you, I think she would have not had the same reaction that she did to Jess, but I think it would have been like, no, like we broke up. Like I broke up with you for a reason. But I don't know, maybe Rory, I think that Rory Gilmore really likes being wanted, regardless of if she wants that thing back. But like, I don't know, Jess really wanted her and she said no in his face.
Yeah, but we kind of talk about this in the last episode, and you guys can listen to our thoughts on Patreon, but when it's released, because it'll come out next week. But I just don't know that Rory's feelings for these men have anything to do with her actions. It's more about how they feel about her. Yeah. And so I feel like there is a small chance that if Dean had come to her and been like, I still have feelings for you, that that may have ignited something in her to, you know, embrace the familiarity of her relationship with Dean, because we don't really get any answers to the questions of why she has that freaking puss on her face as she's looking at him getting married, you know, stand up against a tree being all pooty because he's married. Like, why? You know, is it because like, she's confused?
What is the reason, Rory?
Because Luke told her not to go? Is it because she feels like he's making the wrong decision, which he is, clearly?
I think it's a mix of them. I think it's because confusion over Luke and also confusion over, like, why is this happening? Why are you doing this?
Yeah.
But also it's, like, that thing of Rory of, like, he's my Dean. He's my boyfriend first. So I think that that kind of stuck around. Like, that wasn't born in that moment at the end of like season four, like when she feels that, that had to have like persisted. But I'm actually, as we talk about it, kind of torn between whether or not she would have been like, okay, like let's be together versus like, no, I don't want to be with you. But I think that every single time it would have ended the way that it does naturally in five, when it just like doesn't work out between them.
Sure, totally.
It makes a lot more sense in five though, because she's changed so much, or she is changing. And I think it would have made less sense at the beginning of four where it's at, because she's still kind of deeply in Stars Hollow.
Figuring herself out.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Question for you on that topic. Do you feel like it would have made more sense to see Rory's reaction, given that she's kind of confused as to why Dean's doing this? And we get that at the end of season three. Do you think that Dean getting married in the season three finale would have hit differently?
Ooh.
if she had broken up with Jess, you know, she has that phone call where she says, I think I may have loved you, but, you know, you left, you're gone. She graduates from Chilton. She, you know, comes back to Stars Hollow to celebrate, of course, and Dean is getting married in the town square. And, you know, because they had this whole conversation, this whole fight where it was like, I don't understand why you're doing this. And he's like, I'm sorry that your relationship with Jess sucks. And she's like, Jess doesn't treat me like dirt. And then he leaves, treats her like dirt.
Yeah.
He leaves and Dean gets married and she's staring at him, you know, yeah, kind of questioning everything and maybe in a sense pining for him. I think the reason it didn't make sense in episode four, Chicken or Beef, is because so much time had passed at that point. I'm assuming they hadn't seen each other all summer. She was in Europe. She goes to college. She hasn't talked to him. She just runs into him outside of Lane's house. And all of a sudden it's like, does it kick up feelings? We don't know. Is it, you know, he invites her. Everything's seemingly fine between the two of them. Like, it clearly kicks up feelings for him, but, you know, she doesn't know that. It's just like, it's just a very odd place to throw that into. And I think maybe it would have made more sense at the end of season three.
I think that the thing is that we discovered is four is really weak for Rory. Like, Rory's reasoning why things are happening, Rory's storyline doesn't have a lot of like development and purpose to it. It's kind of all over the place. I would say that of all of the storylines in season four, which are really, really strong, comparatively, Rory's just like doesn't hit the mark where everyone else's does, especially because Luke and Lorelai have such a strong development. And Rory's just like starting with that like chicken or beef just like doesn't make any sense. Yeah. And there's no, like we talk about all the time, like we don't know what Rory's feelings are because she doesn't externalize in any way what she is feeling internally, or we don't really see any like the Lane scene where she's like goes inside and looks like maybe she's gonna kill her mom, but it's just like a sentimental moment. We don't have anything like that for Rory where we can like kind of discern what it is she feels about something.
Yeah. And we should put a pin in that to really expand on in our season four episode. Yeah. But I totally agree with you because there's a lot.
Yeah. And there's a lot of those moments, but it doesn't make sense there. But I think I'd rather it not make sense in four than have it be in three, where it would have made sense and it would have hit really hard to have her like coming back from her graduation in her graduation robe, seeing Dean get married. But I would have been really annoyed with the choice because I love that season three ends with like nothing but possibilities on the horizons for the girlies. Like if we would have like pulled it back to some sort of thought process to Dean, I wouldn't have liked it because like we've said I love you to Jess. We've kind of had that emotional moment, but the it's not so scary anymore moment between the Gilmore girls and like she's gonna open the inn. She's going to Yale and going to college. Like this whole the whole purpose of the show was to get her like to college and to get her through this and to get her to Chilton. So had that occurred then, I would have been like, bummer, bad feels.
But do you feel like you're like, bummer, bad feels because you know what the alternative is? Because they did wrap things up really nicely in season three. We said in our season three recap that we feel like they could have ended if the series had gotten canceled. Thank God it did not. Had it gotten canceled, it could have ended there. You know what I mean? But do you feel like part of the reason why you may feel that way is because you know what the alternative is and that they wrapped a lot of things up in a nice bow? Like this was a chapter end.
Yeah. And I think I liked that.
Sure. I totally feel that. Narrative
wise, it would have been really juicy to see her experience that then and then have some sort of reaction to it in four. Or there had to be something because it just like, whoop, popped out of the blue. We don't know what to do with Rory. Let's throw Dean in there. I don't know. Just.
Yeah. No, didn't love it. But more to say on that when we do our season four recap, but I agree with you. I agree with you on that front. There's a lot to unpack there. But all in all, to answer Kinley's question, I really don't know what she would have said, but I'm apt to agree that she would have maybe leaned more into like, no, we're friends, you know?
Yeah.
And kind of tried to be the good girl for all intents and purposes and say, you know, no, you were just with Lindsay and I think that maybe we need to just be friends.
Ooh, I don't know what I could have seen? Rather than him like leaving the whole wedding and saying this to Luke, I could have seen him saying this to Rory and her being like, no. Mm. And then getting married and then everything unfolding the same way that it did.
that makes a lot more sense. Again, her standing across watching it all unfold would have made a lot more sense if that was the case, if she knew. Yeah. That she was like, why is he getting married to someone who he doesn't, maybe not doesn't want to be with, but when he clearly has feelings for me.
Me. Yeah. Mm. And I just think that the setup for the rest of their relationship that season would have made sense.
Totally.
But yeah. I like Kinley's answer, though. No.
No. It was great.
Yeah.
Anyway, thanks for calling, Kinley.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
In 2018, Border Patrol separated thousands of refugee kids from their parents, deported the parents back to their home countries while keeping the kids in the United States. 6 years later, there are hundreds of families who still have not yet been reunified.
Although we as a community may feel hopeless at times, an organization called El Otro Lado works to reunify these families. They provide holistic legal and humanitarian support to refugees, deportees, and other migrants in the U.S. and Tijuana through multidisciplinary, client-centered, harm reduction-based practices.
Since 2018, they've reunited over 100 refugee families. Once reunited, El Otro Lado helps each family to find legal representation, housing, and the counseling that they need in order to heal and get on their feet. If you believe that all families belong together, consider supporting El Otro Lado and donate today.
You can find the link to donate to El Otro Lado in the description of this episode, or go to gum.fm/charity and donate today. You can also consider volunteering with the organization, which offers opportunities that are both in person and virtual. The best way to get involved is by filling out an application on their website at elotrolado.org/volunteer. That's elotrolado.org/volunteer. Our next voicemail is kind of a voicemail about an opinion that they had, but turned into a little bit of a would you rather. And I'm intrigued to hear what your answer is. So let's hear from our bestie, Grace.
Hi, Tara. Hi, Haley. My name is Grace, and I am an avid listener of the podcast, and I'm in the midst of my yearly Gilmore Girls rewatch. I just finished season 4, and just, like, muddling through the painful episodes that are her dating Dean again. And I think I've drawn the conclusion that I honestly wish that instead of going back to Dean, like, after Dean cheating on Lindsay with her, I wish Dean would have just been done. Like, get him out of here. We don't need to see him anymore. And I kind of wish she had started dating Marty and then had that kind of, that same kind of moment where Marty went to pick her up from her grandma's and saw that she was hanging out with Logan and all of these Yale boys who are just so not like him. And Marty had that realization that he didn't fit into Rory's world instead of Dean, because Dean already realized that, like, seasons ago. It's past. But, so yeah, I kind of wish that Marty had that storyline instead, and I feel like people would have maybe hated Rory a little more because of that, because I feel like if she had dated Marty, then people would have, there would have been more Team Marty people, and I feel like it just would have caused a little bit more conflict, would have been a little juicier than her leaving Dean for Logan. I think her leaving Marty for Logan would have been a lot more juicy, a lot more interesting, and not as tired and old, because I'm just tired of Dean at this point. Like, I'm done seeing him. I would much rather her have dated Marty, and I just wanted to know your guys' take on that. Thanks. Bye.
I love it, Grace. I'm just done seeing him.
Honestly, same. This is more of a season five question, but as we're looking ahead to season five, and I know that that's one of your favorite seasons, I'm just curious because I have my feelings about this, but I'd love to hear what you have to say. Yeah. Would you rather have Rory continue dating Dean after sleeping with him or have him exit the show completely once Lindsay breaks it off and she dates Marty?
Yeah, I will say I think that I know Sparkly Heart because I think that I don't think Marty would have been as interesting simply because we hadn't built that up. Like if we had built that up in season four between the two of them, because I felt like it would have maybe with where season four ends, it would have been a little bit of a jump scare. Here's Marty. And we wouldn't have had a ton of time between the beginning of five and episode eight, The Party's Over, where this breakup between them sort of occurs. It would have been so short-lived and we would have lacked that conflict that Marty provides in Rory and Logan's situationship, like when we get to Jews and Chinese food. I think that actually the reason that I do say Dean and that I do pick the Dean storyline is because we don't want to see him anymore. Because we see this girl who has, like, we saw her grow up in this little small town. We see her growing into something new. And he doesn't fit anymore. Like, he's not the right person for her anymore. He doesn't fit into her life. They're not the right people for each other. And I think seeing her outgrow him and us being like, why are you with this guy again? Like, it's just because it's comfortable. But, like, I think that part of us not wanting him to be there anymore is like on behalf of the writers recognizing that he's not right for her anymore. And we're like feeling that. We're feeling that it's like this relationship doesn't fit anymore. So when it ends, it's just like we're like, yeah, we feel it. Dean feels it. Rory feels it.
The party's over.
You know, the party is over and we're all on the same page about it. And I think that's what I like about it is it really leads her into feeling capable of moving into like a situationship dating where she doesn't have to jump into a relationship, because I feel like if it was like the Marty, because I don't think she leaves Dean for Logan. I think it's just Dean leaves her because this doesn't fit anymore. And she's a crush on Logan and that unfolds. But like that happens in episode 8 and we don't really see anything happen between her and Logan until 13. So I'm not saying, I mean, of course they're making room for him. But I think it makes sense that we didn't want to see Dean anymore. And that's why that's there.
I completely agree. When I was listening to Grace's message, I was like, oh, yeah, that would have been interesting. But then the longer I thought about it, the more I mean, you all know this. I've said this on this podcast before. I do not think for anybody who's Team Marty out there, bless your heart, like go like I totally support you in your team.
I like
support
that you
of
didn't
him.
Finish that sentence. You just said go. Just go.
I was going to say, go live your truth.
Yeah. just go.
But just go. No, live your truth. I think that's great if that's what you root for. However, I have said this from the jump. I will say it over and over and over again. I don't think my opinion on this is going to change. Marty was always meant to be her friend. Always.
Yeah.
And I think that I don't think he was ever meant to be really a suitor. But in the context of, yeah. And that's the thing is that in the context of where we are at right now in our rewatch, season four, he is just a friend. They are kind of painting him when she meets him in, what is that season? It's season four, episode 3. Is that when they're at the party? Yes, they're at the party and she meets the twins and Madeline and Louise are there and he gets naked and he gets the name Naked Guy. When she meets him and they have that exchange in the hallway, he is being framed as a potential suitor.
Because he's a guy.
Because he's a guy and he's meeting Rory Gilmore, of course. But like the zoom in, the cinematography of it all, they're like zooming in on him. I'm Marty. You know?
I'm naked.
I'm naked. But I think that when it comes to Marty as a whole, now that we've gotten through season four, they're not setting him up as a love interest for the rest of the season. So I agree with you that it would have been a little bit of a jump scare where all of a sudden Marty enters the chat because they kind of start setting him up to be a potential love interest because he's showing interest in her in more than a friendship capacity in season five. So with this Dean storyline that we got a little bit of everything that Grace is kind of proposing. She's not dating Marty, but Marty is interested in her. And in a sense, she rejects him for Logan. She doesn't break up with him for Logan, but no. I like Logan. Really sets her up.
I like you, Rory. I like Logan.
Like, she rejects him. She rejects him for Logan. So we already got that, right?
Yeah.
I don't think that they needed to date in order for that rejection to be set up. And I agree with you that we didn't need to see it. In fact, we didn't want to. Grace doesn't want to see him anymore either. Rory needed to understand that familiarity doesn't mean it's right. And that just because you feel comfortable doesn't mean that that's the correct relationship for you. And she needed to see that through with Dean. The way that it was executed is not necessarily on the moral high ground that I would stand on. But I think that she needed to see that through.
Yeah. And I think that it really proved to her that, like, sometimes comfort can become very uncomfortable because you've changed so much. Mm-hmm. And I think that was the thing with Dean. It's like, this just wasn't right anymore. And bye.
Yeah. Look, even though we hate it, most of us hate it, I would argue, like, the majority of the fandom doesn't like when Rory and Dean get back together. I guess you could argue part three, if you count one and two as their first chapter before they break up in season one, and then two to three, and then now season four or five.
Yeah.
God, their relationship is so long. Yes, yeah. I think that Dean part three is not something that people are necessarily fond of. However, I think it was the most interesting storyline. Mm-hmm. And I think that it's representative of the fact that oftentimes we return to relationships that feel comfortable and feel familiar, even though they are not right and even though they have run their course. But you sometimes need that extra push to feel reassured that they are no longer the right relationship for you. And now Rory never has to wonder, even though she is really the one that caused the impetus for the two of them to break up in the first place with Jess. And, you know, she clearly, I don't think, necessarily had feelings for Dean. She just wanted to feel comfortable, which is pretty much her entire arc of season four, is her remaining where she's familiar and what she knows, rather than branching out to start that new chapter of her life, which she doesn't really enter until season five. And I think part of that comes with her shedding the skin of, you know,
Dean.
Dean's skin. Ew. Ew. Oh. I don't ever want to say that again. But yes, Grace, thank you so much for calling in. I think it's an interesting theory to pose. I personally love what we got. But
I think you'll change your mind as we move through five. Maybe you will love Dean and you will need him to stay.
April Fools.
On April 9th.
I was going to say, it is April 9th. Anyway, but Grace, thank you so much for calling. We love hearing your takes, even when we have a no sparkly heart to them. We love them.
Yeah, that's a great question.
So our next voicemail is about a character that we meet in season four. However, it was a character that we were introduced to before season four. And there are some thoughts about the way that that was introduced and then the way that was executed from our bestie, Bailey.
Oh.
Hi, besties. This is Bailey. And I was just listening to one of the Patreon episodes where Liz is playing me in the picture. And I just have some thoughts about her. The way that Luke and Jess made her seem in earlier seasons was maybe that she had substance abuse problems and addictions, and she was a neglectful, bad parent. But when we meet Liz, finally, she just seems kind of like a hippie, flighty mom, but it doesn't seem like she lacks any, like, love and care for Jess. So I'm just curious what your guys' thoughts are on that. Why maybe Amy decided to change her character when she brought her onto the show. Anyway, so it's just something I was thinking of. Love you guys. Bye.
That is very interesting because I think I agree that, like, before, I thought she was going to be, like, nitty gritty, like, agree, like, substance abuse, like, really neglected Jess. Mm. And when she comes on, she kind of seems silly, goofy, just flighty.
Hippy dippy.
Yeah. Renaissance fair, earrings maker, wearing one earring and not the other, loving her brother, really affectionate towards her son, but, like, not present at all. I didn't get that vibe from her. And I don't know what, like, the representation of her character that we thought we were getting would have looked like in season four. Like, how would we have, what would the character have needed to convey that sense that we were lacking in? Because I also kind of get the sense that maybe she was like that, but she turned things around.
Yeah.
And that's what we get with TJ, and she's found her purpose with the Renaissance Fair and making jewelry, and she's turning her life around, and she's reconnecting with Jess, and she marries TJ, and that's like the whole reflecting light moment, and he's great, and he's really hilarious and kind of made to be an idiot, but he's so emotionally intelligent. And I think that maybe finding something like that made her be more like that, which doesn't like negate that she, the way she was represented was maybe how she was at the time. And the way that everyone, mostly Luke and Jess, are distrustful of how she is acting, I think also indicates that she was like that, but maybe she's turned her life around.
Yeah, I agree. I was going to say that it sounds to me like that may be the impetus for Luke being so supportive of her relationship with TJ. You know, at first he's very skeptical and he's kind of
in like a very mean way.
Yeah, he's like, oh, let me guess, you have a boyfriend.
Yeah.
And, you know, he kind of talks.
Says, you're kind of a dick.
Yeah, he calls him out when he meets him. And it's because there's so much denial that Liz can actually turn her life around. And I do think that that is curtailed by the fact that when he meets TJ and he sees the way that the two of them interact with each other, and he even speaks to this when he talks to Jess, like, I think that this guy is the real deal. I think she's actually making something of herself and she's turning her life around, and you're going to regret not being there to witness this change in her life. So I think that personally, I think that given everything we've discussed about this show and the path that it's been on storytelling wise in a variety of capacities with different characters, I don't think they anticipated introducing Liz into the story when they started talking about her at the beginning of season two. Because, you know, the phone call between Luke and quote unquote Liz when in Nick and Norris and Nancy, when Jess arrives on the scene, the way that he talks to her feels very different than the relationship they end up executing in season four, right? So I feel like they didn't anticipate bringing Liz onto the show and actually having her be kind of the impetus for Luke and Jess to rekindle their relationship and to turn a new leaf. Admittedly, there are ways in which she kind of orchestrated a lot of like Luke and Lorelai in some ways. You know, she's kind of the reason that they got together, you could argue, not the whole reason, but I think that her presence there provided an opportunity for the two of them to get together. So she does play a vital role eventually. And I don't know that Amy necessarily planned for that to be the case when she started painting the picture of Liz in season two, because we only ever get the recount of who she is before we meet her. Same thing kind of happens with Rachel. With Rachel, we get this idea of, you know, the women in Luke's life are kind of painted by the town until we meet them. And then we're like, wait a second.
this girl?
But I agree that I think that, you know, maybe that was, you know, whether it was substance abuse or just her being a flaky mom and maybe being a little self-absorbed, because I can see her being flighty and flaky and maybe a little self-involved, that she doesn't actually know how to be a good parent. And I can also see her growing up and maybe meeting someone who gives her purpose and feeling like she actually has the mental capacity to show up now. I'm not saying that makes it right or wrong, but
I
don't think we stray far enough from the introduction of her and the picture that's painted to justify that it's like, oh, this is a completely different person. I do think that there are ways in which she changed. They just don't necessarily talk about it directly on the show.
Yeah, I do think it makes sense that Liz and TJ seem to have a very codependent relationship.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of the times when people are, I don't know, in Liz's situation where you're kind of just hopping around from people to people and letting down the people in your life, a lot of it can come from the reason that we talk about with Jess. There's no one to like believe in him and instill in him like purpose. And sometimes I think that we will shy away from like, oh, a man coming in your life and fixing you and like, we should be strong, independent people. But I think with the right people, you can be that strong, independent person because they love and support you. Mm-hmm. And the way that TJ talks about her and about building her booth and how he's so excited about it. And he's like really hyping up the work that she does and like the line that's like available for her booth now. And he's so proud of her. And I think having someone like that in your life will really change things for you. But because of that, it does make you a little bit codependent when you're in that situation. So I actually think that maybe their relationship is really reflective of what it might have been like for her to like go through that and then start to change. And I kind of like that we met her in the change versus meeting her in the volatile part, because I don't know if I would have liked her as much, because I love Liz and TJ in this season.
I do too. Oh my God, they're so fun. I really love TJ's character in this season, and we'll get more into that in a couple weeks when we talk about season four. But man, oh man, do I love him. And yeah. I love the two of them. I think they're very wholesome.
Yeah. I'm interested to know what y'all think about the introduction of Liz.
Me too.
Because I don't know. I feel like what we got worked for me, even if it wasn't like 100% consistent with where we expected her to be. But at the same time, that's exactly how Luke felt. So
yeah, exactly. It's true.
Maybe you are Luke.
Maybe.
Bailey, you're Luke.
You're Luke, Bailey. But anyway, thank you so much for calling in, Bailey. I love hearing that perspective, because I kind of forget about the fact that like there was this idea of Liz before Liz actually came to fruition. Again, the same way that we kind of get this recount of Rachel before we're introduced to her. Yeah. And it's so interesting to hear the way that people talk about characters that then later get introduced into the show. And
they're like,
I feel like we should do an episode about that. Like people who are talked about and then introduced into the show, and if the recount or you know, introduction of who they are and the way that people talk about them aligns with the execution. Yeah, exactly. Like Christopher and Rachel. Mia a little bit.
Not entirely.
Trix. Trix is talked about as if she's dead.
Big character shift.
Yeah. Huge character shift. There's just so many characters that are introduced to us after they're discussed. And I would love to compare.
Discussed, deceased.
Yeah. You know? So I would love to maybe get into that someday.
In 2018, Border Patrol separated thousands of refugee kids from their parents, deported the parents back to their home countries while keeping the kids in the United States. 6 years later, there are hundreds of families who still have not yet been reunified.
Although we as a community may feel hopeless at times, an organization called El Otro Lado works to reunify these families. They provide holistic legal and humanitarian support to refugees, deportees, and other migrants in the U.S. and Tijuana through multidisciplinary, client-centered, harm reduction-based practices.
Since 2018, they've reunited over 100 refugee families. Once reunited, El Otro Lado helps each family to find legal representation, housing, and the counseling that they need in order to heal and get on their feet. If you believe that all families belong together, consider supporting El Otro Lado and donate today.
You can find the link to donate to El Otro Lado in the description of this episode, or go to gum.fm/charity and donate today. You can also consider volunteering with the organization, which offers opportunities that are both in-person and virtual. The best way to get involved is by filling out an application on their website at elotrolado.org/volunteer. That's elotrolado.org/volunteer. Anyway, our last voicemail I actually pulled from back in the fall. And ooh. Yeah, vintage. And it's interesting, because listening to this, I think that if we had played this in the fall, we may have agreed with it.
Ooh.
Maybe not at this point, because this is October. But I think if we played this, let's say this time last year, we probably would have agreed with it. But I feel like now we have different feelings. So let's hear from our bestie, Annie.
Hey, Gilmore Girly Girls. This is Annie. I'm currently in the middle of my fall rewatch of Gilmore Girls. And it's been years since I've actually sat down rewatch the entire thing. I'm kind of like you guys, where I like to watch certain seasons and I'm early season girly, but I decided this year I was going to actually rewatch all of it, and I've come to the conclusion that I must have like skipped season four before, because it's just so boring compared to some of the others. Yes, Rory goes off to college. Obviously, at the very end of it, her and Dean sleep together, but when you really look at the season, I feel like the Gilmore girls really, or at least both Lorelai's, end up in a very similar position as they did the previous season. Rory hasn't, she's just in college now. She hasn't really expanded much or grown much in the last year. She is still a homebody and doesn't really do anything besides visit Stars Hollow. And also Lorelai, like, goes through another relationship that very quickly falls apart.
Here's the thing. I understand why season four has a reputation for being boring, because it's a lot of setup, right? It's a lot of setting us up, specifically Rory, and we've talked about this, for her journey in season five. I think that it can feel boring for a college student who hasn't quite, like, she's straddling the line between her hometown, like between the chapter she's closed and the chapter she's walking into, right?
Which to me makes a lot of sense.
Oh, 100%. I think that that's a lot of people who are in their first year of college.
Yeah.
I think that that's where I was. I think it's
I went into college as a homebody, and I'm still to this day a homebody.
And still can relate. Yes. But I just absolutely adore season four because of that. I think that it's a big towny season. I actually don't think that the girls end up exactly where they left off at all.
Especially not Lorelai.
Definitely not Lorelai. And so I feel like I may have agreed maybe this time last year.
Yeah, I think before we started, because we started season four in November, and like we weren't like season four haters, but like we were like, it's like I'm excited to get there because like we have such like not negative opinions, but just like meh mid opinions about season four. So I think I might have been like, yeah, I'm expecting it to be boring because I know what happens, but like going through every single episode, I just was like nothing but bangers.
It was a hit. It was a hit. Hit after hit after hit. But what I will say is that I feel like when we're so used to seasons one through three, especially if you're an early seasons girly, and I guess also if you're a later seasons girly, there is so much content for Rory Gilmore. And like you said, Rory's storyline is probably the weakest of season four. Of the three Gilmore girls, hers is the weakest. She goes to college. And you're watching kind of the journey of her navigating that. But really, it's about Lorelai and Luke and their journey towards getting together finally. And it's about Emily and Richard.
Yeah. And it's also like when Jess comes back, you think it's for Rory, but it feels like it's more so for Luke.
Yeah.
It's also really good Kirk season.
Yeah.
We feel like this is really like Luke and Kirk are the stars of four. And yeah, I there are a lot of moments that like looking back on like our recap on Patreon, we really felt like meh about Rory and what she was going through, but it never at any point I feel like affected, except I think in After Boom, that was the only one we were like, meh, this really affected, like pulled the episode down to a mid. But other than that, I felt like we like enjoyed every single episode.
For the most part, yeah, we had some that we were like, this is kind of a meh for season four, but a meh for season four was like a season one banger, you know?
That's what we said, yeah. And yeah. I think that like if you do love those early seasons for like Stars Hollow and the townies and that relationship and even like the Gilmore girls, like I still feel like that's so present in four.
Yeah.
Like we're still having town events and they're still together and we're still having Luke's breakfasts and Friday night dinners are still normal. And like the like real conflict hasn't picked up between them or yeah, I just feel like no, it's still much of the same. I think it's
a perfect bridge between Rory early seasons, Rory later seasons, you know?
Yeah.
And just Gilmore Girls in general. It's a nice bridge.
It's a really good bridge.
The switch that Rory's about to really experience.
Yeah, and I think if you don't want to cross the bridge, then...
You don't have to. Turn around. That's okay. Kick it in
reverse.
Turn
back around.
Yeah.
3, 2, 1. Around. 1, 2, 3.
Yeah. It's that's fine. And, you know, Annie, totally respect if you feel like season four is a little mid, it's a little boring. We're just here to offer a different perspective. I think that having watched it and having recapped it, I love season four. And I'm rewatching it with Brett right now, which I've mentioned on Patreon. And he's really liking it. He's like, okay, all right. Because it's kind of regrounding itself into what the heart of the show is, which is the town. Of course it's the girls and their relationship is it's still ever present and rooted in love. Yeah, it's definitely still back to the heart of what the heartbeat of the show, which I would argue is the town and the relationship between Lorelai and Rory and Lorelai and her parents. It's a big season for the two of them, or for the three of them, rather, the two entities.
The Gilmore grandparents, like, they really take such a like large part of this season. Like their storyline does, and I really, really like it.
Me too.
Like, it just feels like we're just diving deeper into what the core of the show is about. Which I have been accused in our reviews of not liking what the core of the show is about, that I only like this show because of Logan.
That's not true.
That just goes to show that's not true. I actually really liked that one.
No, that made you giggle. You were like, oh, okay.
But no, and like, I will say to Annie, late caveat, had we listened to this when you originally sent it, I think I would have vibed with you. I think I would have maybe not been completely it's boring, but I think I would have been like, yeah, I'm leaning that way. But like, after our rewatch, which we just finished yesterday, which will air on Patreon for Super Cool Party People next Friday, week after next, that I'm just completely on the opposite side. I loved it so much.
I am too.
I honestly think sometimes the boring episodes, the best ones.
Like, yeah, no plot, just vibes.
Yeah. Are you coming here for like action sequences? Or are you just coming here to vibe?
Yeah. And it's really all about what you're looking for and what you gravitate towards.
Yeah. Maybe you want Rory at school, like in Chilton, and that storyline really did it for you and her transition is not right for you. Then go right back.
Yeah.
It's waiting in reverse for you.
It's right there.
Yeah. Welcome to season 1, 2, 3. It's been waiting for you.
Honestly, I love those seasons. But yeah, season 4 has now been kind of grouped into my, like, the love that I have.
Yeah.
Admittedly, I'm going to save this take for our season 4 recap. I'm very excited about it.
Which we've been talking about so much. We're so interested to see where 4 falls in our rankings or where it was in our old rankings, because we have so much to talk about, like, fave episodes, like, new characters introduced, because there were quite a few. There's some storylines that we hated and some ones we loved.
It's true.
I feel like we have so much
to say.
And we'll put up a lot of polls, I think, before then, because I want to see what other people feel like, and we will reflect upon that in our episode. But our next episode is not about season 4. It is an episode after our next one, because this next episode we will actually be with Eli Rallo, who was the author of our March pick for Reading the Sexy, which is her book, I Didn't Know I Needed This. And she also was the guest at our live event back in October. And she had the best, most like thoughtful opinions about Gilmore Girls. So I'm really excited to hear her rules for maybe the Gilmore Girls, if we can have her come up with them to like bridge the gap of what her book is about and what we'll be talking about as far as the Gilmore Girls go.
But we're so excited.
Really excited.
Me too. She was such a fantastic guest at our live show here in New York City back in October. Our audience really responded to her because she came out with some hot takes, but hot takes that were really well supported and well thought out.
Very rooted in the show, not just like random opinions.
No, not just like, hey, here's this hot take. I have nothing to back it up, but this is how I feel. No, she was very, very intentional about the way she spoke about the show and the characters that she gravitates towards. And we can't wait to bring those opinions to the pod next week.
And we'll have more to say on that in the next episode.